Beautiful day. It's even more beautiful because you're here, and I'm thankful that you're here today. I would be absolutely amiss if I didn't tell you that I am a nervous wreck. I'm not a preacher. I tell people all the time, I'm not a preacher. I get to do this periodically, and I think that I do. And so I enjoy speaking, but most of the time, I just be honest with you, Pam said, you didn't come to bed at 2 o'clock this morning. I said, you're right, I didn't. She said, why? I said, I slept a little bit in the chair. Then I thought a little bit about this lesson. I slept a little bit more in the chair. Finally, I decided I just need to get up and go to bed. Got in bed. Well, we have this little 4 pounds of nothing. It's called a dog. Her name is Lucy. She likes to sleep in the bed. For some reason or another, she decided this morning to get right here on top of me and stare me in the face. Well, when you're halfway asleep and your dog is staring at you, you think you're going to die. But, I've prayed about this lesson. I've prayed about what we're going to talk about. And I hope that you'll bear with me. But the main thing I pray this morning is that you'll open up your heart. You know, we've got some things that's going on. We've already talked about Stamp Out for Hunger. We really need your help next Saturday if you can come and help deliver and help pick up and help sort and stuff. Ed and them do a beautiful job. It's like a well-oiled machine how this thing works. I love it. It's really, really good. So next Saturday, we need your help. Thank you for taking these bags, folding these bags, getting these bags back by tonight or tomorrow. So we can make this happen. Hundreds and hundreds of families helped. Next week is Mother's Day. And in June is Father's Day. Don't forget that. But Mother's Day is next week, and from 8 o'clock to 8:50 next Sunday morning, we're going to have muffins with Mom here, and we would love for all you to come and share time together and spend some time together and enjoy this time together. So make sure that you come for that. The week after that is Senior Appreciation Night. That's September 21. We have 7 graduating seniors. If you want to know who they are, grab one of the bulletins here. The names are in the bulletin right there, and we're going to honor them after our evening Bible class time together. So I hope that you'll come and be a part of that. It's a really, really good time. You know, we have 3 college graduates. 2 graduated yesterday. Kayla Ford graduated yesterday. Lydia Lay graduated yesterday. My understanding is Kayla is getting ready to go to Yale. Yale. In Alabama, we'd say Yale. But she's going there, and Lydia's taking an internship in Washington, D.C., and Jacob Campbell's graduating next week, prayerfully, hopefully. No, Jacob's going to graduate, and, I always kid people, people graduate magna cum laude, summa cum laude. I graduated, thank you, Lord. And so, But it's an exciting time. All these seniors are getting excited about graduating. And their mamas and daddies are crying. What am I going to do without my baby in your house? Anything you want. But have a great time. We got that coming on. Last night, we had about 70 plus people at the house last night for a cookout. And if you were there, thank you for coming. If you weren't there, we missed you. And the reason I bring this up is because this is my family. You're my family. You are my family. Why? Because we're part of the Lord's church. And being a part of the Lord's church makes you family. And that's such a great thing to have. How many of you have been to family reunions before? That's good. You know, family reunions are kind of like a thing of the past, though. I mean, we just don't have, we used to have the Newsom reunion. Now, the Newsom, now, Jim, that's not any kin to you. We have an N on the end of our, E on the end of our name. So, we wrote you off years ago. Now, but we had the Newsom reunion, and we would go there, and they would be cousins and everybody that you knew, and people that you didn't know. I honestly believe that people came to family reunions just to crash them because there was a whole lot of good food there. Now, the elder family reunion was a little bit different. Wasn't as many of us, but we all gathered together. And everybody had to go see Grandmama. That's my dad's mom. And my grandmama was a kisser. Not on the forehead, not on the cheek, right slap on the mouth. And if you were a grandchild, you just knew that was going to happen. You did everything you could to avoid grandma until your parents said, you need to go see your grandmama. No. I'm just glad she wasn't a snuff dipper. I did have a great grandmama that was a snuff dipper. But yeah, so you'd go up there and, you know, you try your best to do the dodge. But grandmama would take you by the cheeks. And she'd press those cheeks in and she'd plant one right on your lips. And then, of course, when you were little and weren't looking, you did a lot of that. But I love family reunions. Why do I love family reunions? Well, family reunions, hello, why are we not working? It's because I'm mashing the wrong thing. There we go. Family reunions kind of go with our theme, growing, serving, loving God together. It goes a part of our One Word series that we're studying. And we've been talking over the last couple of weeks. We talked about heaven, and we talked about the perils of hell. But today, we're going to talk about hope. We've already sang about it. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. My only hope is in Jesus Christ. Why? Because I want to be part of the greatest family reunion ever. And the greatest family reunion ever is not on this earth, but it's in the home that we've called heaven. I think our society today has taken the term hope and changed it. Well, I hope I can go to college someday. Okay. I hope that when I turn 16, I'll get a driver's license. And I hope I get a car. 2017 Mustang, 720 horsepower, nothing fancy. I hope someday I'll meet somebody that will love me as much as I love them. I think a lot of times in our life today, when we look at the word hope, we define it as wishful thinking. Because think about this. The very things I just mentioned to you just now may or may not happen. You may not go to college. You may not get your driver's license. You may never find a spouse. Those are things that we call wishes, but yet we term it hope. But what is hope? Well, some people would say, well, we need to use biblical hope. Do you know that in the Bible, the word is hope, like hope is like over and over and over and over and over? In fact, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when he says, now abides faith, hope, and love. Isn't it interesting that those three things were the major things that he put out there? Well, faith is those things that we believe in. But what is hope? Let me give you a Jerry Elder / somewhat biblical definition of hope. Hope is blessed assurance. It's not wishful thinking. It's not saying, I hope I get this, I hope I get that. Let me tell you something, folks. You can know you can have heaven. You can know it. Why? Because you have the blessed assurance in Jesus Christ. That's a confirmation that came from Him Himself. When He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father except by me. We know that we can get back to God because of Jesus Christ. And we have the blessed hope in Him that we can get there. Why? We even sing about it when we sing Blessed Assurance. Larry, lead that first verse for us.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine.
Ask you, is this your story? Do you have the blessed hope that's found in Jesus Christ? And I have to ask yourself the question, or is it just wishful thinking? I'm going to tell you, I think our society and I think Satan has turned our hearts so much that we don't have the assurance, the knowledge of knowing. But rest assured, you can have the assurance that's found in Jesus Christ. You can have the assurance that He Himself said, I am going to come again. And when I come again, I am going to take you with me. I'm going to take you. But who's He going to take? Those that have a firm faith in Him. Those that have a firm love in Him. Those that are obedient to Him. Oh, we long for a lot of things in this life. We long for a lot of things. We long for, again, the graduations that come on. We long to own a house. We long to own a car. We long to have certain things in life. Do we long for the second coming of Jesus? You know, Jesus did say, I'm going to come again. And when He comes again, He's going to take His children home with Him. But do you have the assurance when He comes? Let me not talk to the person right now, but let me talk to your heart. Let me talk to your heart. The only person that knows in this room where you are with your hope in God is you. That's it. You. Not me. Not the elders of the congregation here. Not your spouse. Not your children. Not your moms and dads. The only people that know your assurance is you. So you have to examine your heart. How often? Every single day. And I know that as long as Jesus Christ is with us in our life, I have the blessed hope, I have the blessed assurance that I have a hope that's not wishful thinking, that's a blessed assurance of going to live with Him someday in heaven. I know that. But I have to look at my heart, and you have to look at your heart in that. And if you need to make those changes, you need to make the change. You need to make it. Nobody else can make it for you. So because of that, Because I give my life over to Jesus Christ, because I live my life faithfully for Him, because I'm obedient to His Word, I have a blessed hope of going to live with Him in heaven. There is a passage that I guess I've probably read more at funerals than anything. And it comes from the Thessalonian letter that Paul writes. And he talks about people, be not concerned for those that are asleep, as those that have no hope. No hope. When I read that, I think about this world. I think the people that are not transforming from the world to Christianity, to love God, to love Jesus, to do His will. I think about that. And I think about they have no hope. But Paul goes on in that same passage there. It says, hey, don't worry about those that have no hope, because you see, these are people that have hope. That's you. That's me. That's those of us that are followers of Christ. That's our family, which we call the church. And if you think family's not important, try going without it. Try being without family. Being in the roles that Dale and I and others, sometimes you get a phone call, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. Mr. Elder, yeah, it's Murray Regional Hospital. Can you? We've got a family here that's called and asked for a minister to come out. Can you come? Sure, I'll come. We're in ICU, but come here. And you go out to ICU, and you walk through the hospital, and you get in, and you go in, and you knock on the door, ring the bell, and they let you back there, and they say, here's the family. They've called for somebody. They have a loved one that's about ready to pass away. And then you go in there, and then you meet maybe one of the family members that are there, and they say, well, we don't have a preacher. We just need somebody to come and pray with us. And there the loved one may be at the point of death. And you pray. And you pray with the family. And then you hurt. Why? Because of hope. Where's that soul going when it passes? We've talked to the person, we've talked to your heart, but I've got to go further than your heart. I need to talk to your soul. Because you see, of everything that we have in this life that we call that wishful thinking, there is one thing for certain that you can know. The one thing for certain that you can know today, right now, is that your soul can be saved. 100% can be saved. Because you have the blessed assurance that comes through Jesus Christ, because you see, He's the one that God sent down to this earth so that to live and die, that and so it gave His blood that you might be purged from your sins, giving you the assurance of going home to live with Him. That's the assurance that comes. That's the greatest thing in the world that we can know. But just as you talk to your heart and you ask yourself, am I in the right relationship, or do I have a blessed hope that's there? Then you've got to ask yourself the question, is my soul prepared? Well, if your heart is telling you to turn, what's keeping you from turning? What's keeping it? There's an old song that we sing, today is the day of salvation. Tomorrow may be too late. My hope is not in the things of this world. It's not in my house. My hope is not in the material stuff that I have. But I have hope within my church family. Because you see, just as I had put that picture up there of our family together, I want to be part of the grandest reunion in heaven together with you, my family. I want to be with you. I want us all to have the blessed assurance, knowing that our only hope is in Jesus Christ. And through Jesus Christ, we get to go home together. So as we bring this to a close this morning, where does your hope lie? Where is it? Are you trying to bury it yourself? Why? Are you putting things off? Why? We're going to have an elder that's over in our room over to my far right over here. If you want to meet with them privately, we're going to have an elder come down front. If you want to change your life, you can come forward this morning. If you're a Christian, we'll pray with you and pray for you. If you're not a Christian, do you have hope? It's a question we leave for you this morning. Would you come as we stand and sing?